Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." And then he said, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." What I want us to do this morning is to think of Jesus as a shepherd. A shepherd's job is to lead, feed, and protect his flock. A shepherd's job is to feed, lead, and protect his flock. And what I want us to do is a little bit unusual, I guess, but I want us to think of Jesus as a shepherd. Anybody got that part? Thinking of Jesus as our shepherd, somebody who feeds, leads, and protects. And then I want us to go back to the Old Testament and look at a chapter that talks about a shepherd. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. And most of you won't have to turn. You could just quote it. If you're like me, you may accidentally leave out a verse every now and then, but Psalms chapter 23, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wanted you to look at it from the perspective of a Christian. I want you to look at it that we're talking about Jesus. This passage was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And this passage was written from the perspective of God being the shepherd. But I want you to look at it from the perspective of Jesus being your shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Psalms 23 describes what a good shepherd does. So I want you to think of it as Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. I think you've heard me tell the story of the little boy in Sunday school who was supposed to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And he memorized it. He did great. I mean, he had it. At home, he could tell it to his mama. Wasn't any problem. He had it. When he got to church, they put him up in front of the whole group and wanted him to say it. Any of you ever been there? What happens when I'm in front of the whole group and I'm supposed to say what I've memorized? All he could remember, and part of what he remembered wasn't even exactly right, but all he could remember was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." He couldn't remember anymore. But even though he couldn't quote Psalms 23 in front of the group, he may have had the point. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus is my shepherd, and that's everything I need. Jesus is my shepherd, and that's everything I need. I don't need anything else, because He provides it all. He leads me, He feeds me, and He protects me. Jesus is my shepherd, and that's all I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, many times I think we memorize scriptures and we've heard scriptures all of our life. What does it mean to a shepherd and to his sheep that he's got him in green pastures? Everywhere I look, there's green grass. And if I'm a sheep, you know how important that is? That's like going to the all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, isn't it? That's everything I need. That's food everywhere. I'm not worried about getting hungry. Everywhere I look, there's food. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's food everywhere. There's plenty of food. Most of the world most of the world struggle day to day to have enough food to eat. In America, most of us don't know what that's like. But there are many people in the world who do not know where tomorrow's meal is coming from. Jesus is my shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. Everywhere I look, there's food. Everywhere. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. I understand that sheep are very scary. They would not like running water. That would scare them. They would not go close enough to drink. So in addition to all the green grass, there's pools of water, quiet water, that I can drink. Jesus is my shepherd. He feeds me, he leads me, he protects me. This verse talks about him feeding me, giving food and water. Food everywhere I look and water that I can partake of. He restores my soul. He restores my innermost being. He helps me to be everything I can be. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He helps me to live in such a way that people may see my good works and glorify him because of them. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we talk about the food and water, we think of it as selfish needs. I need food and water. But one of the greatest needs I have is to have a purpose in life, to have a reason that I exist. That there's a reason why I need to get up in the morning. And the reason is so I can do the righteousness for his name's sake. So I can glorify him with my life. There's a purpose. Not just that I can get up and eat and go back to sleep and get up and eat and go back to sleep and get up and eat and go back to sleep. Although for me that sounds like fun, but... But he says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you remember why God created woman? Genesis 2:18 says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him." Most of us need companion. And that's the reason it's so sad for Ruth and for Brenda, one of our visitors today whose husband recently died. That companion. And most of our companions, they're not perfect. They got flaws. But my sister's husband died, a year ago, is that right? About a year ago, and I was talking to her last night, and they got a tangle up in her work, not a tangle up, but they got new management at her work, and they're changing her work schedule. She's a banker. She's been working from 9 to 4, banker's hours, okay? They changed her schedule, and then they're going to make her work at night. After the bank closes, she's going to stay and do all this paperwork. And she got upset by that. She didn't like that. But in the course of the conversation with the bosses and the discussion, you know, how they bring you together and tell you what they're going to do and all that kind of stuff. And she'd been there 10 years. And the people who had been there no time, they still had banker's hours. She had to work late. But anyway, she said, I suppose a little bit of rebellion. She said, "It doesn't make any difference. I don't have anybody to go home to anyway. I don't have anybody to go home to anyway." We need a companion. And even if I've lost my companion, I have Jesus. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. You are with me. A companion. You ever been alone? I mean, really alone. Sometimes we can be alone even in a crowd. You ever been there? I mean, there are people everywhere. But I feel like I'm so alone. Many times because the one person I love is not there, my husband or my wife or whatever. And there are people everywhere, but I'm just by myself. For a Christian, I'm never by myself. I'm never by myself. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. For the Christian, Jesus is with me. What did he say in the Great Commission? And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is my shepherd, and that's all I need. I may want some other stuff, but that's all I need is Jesus. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. From what little I know about shepherding, the rod has two purposes. One is to kind of guide the sheep, right? Kind of keep them in line. But it's also to fight against the wolves. And to protect the sheep. And the staff, is that, if I got it right, the staff is that thing with the crook on the end. Guess what that's used for? When I drift away, it comes get me. That's what that's used for. And so it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As much as I love the Lord, sometimes I just drift away. My sinful nature just leads me down the wrong road. His staff, it comes and pulls me back. It comes and rescues me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus is my shepherd. That's all I need. Verse 5, he changes gears a little bit from shepherd and sheep to host and guest. Still, I think that the shepherd part is there. But anyway, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even though there are people all around me that seemed like they want to destroy me, I can have a banquet and enjoy it. Because he's going to protect me. Even when I goof up and drift away, he's going to come and bring me back. He's going to prepare a table. He's going to prepare a table. In the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My first reaction is, what does that mean? But you know what I think he's talking about? You ever worked hard all day and come home and took a shower and got in some comfortable clothes? That's what that's like. That feels so good. Even if I love to work, at the end of the day when I'm tired and worn out, boy, it really feels good to come in and take that shower and just get comfortable and relax. I think that's what he's talking about when he says, you've anointed my head with oil. You've refreshed me. And it's almost like I'm ready to start over. You know, everything's okay now. I feel so good. My cup overflows. Jesus is my shepherd, and I have not only all I need, I have more than I need. My cup overflows. I think as Christians, we need to share with each other our hurts and our difficulties and our problems. I think that's one of the purposes for the church, for the group, that we can share together. That, man, I'm having a tough time. I'm going through a difficult situation. And there's somebody that will listen and care. And I think we probably ought to find ways that we can do more of that. On the other side of that same coin, everybody with me? Nobody lost me? The other side of that same coin, sometimes I think we gripe too much. We gripe about everything. You know, and I think about the weather. Very seldom, I say, once in a while I heard somebody say, "What is a perfect day?" Most of the time, somebody will say, "It's too hot," or "It's too cold," or "It's got too much pollen." Yeah, something. And we gripe all the time. We complain about everything. There's nothing ever right. And many of you have heard me say this before, but I have a melancholy personality, which means naturally I look at everything negatively. I don't have to work at being negative. It just happens automatically. You know? And it just comes to me. I just think about the problem. No matter what we're talking about, I see the negative side every time. And so I decided years ago that I was going to memorize scripture about joy. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. So I'm going to learn those scriptures that commanded me. I need to rejoice. So they're always finding fault, always griping. Rejoice about things. And I was going to just get in the habit of saying, "I can't complain." And a lot of times over the years, people have challenged me and said, "Do you mean you don't have any problems?" I asked you how you're doing, you said, "I can't complain." That means you don't have any problems. That's not what that means. What that means is I have decided not to complain about my problems right then. I'm going to wait till I get home and tell my wife about them. I think we probably need to increase both sides of that coin. We need some people we can just share with our problems, that I can open up to and say, "Man, I'm having a tough time with this issue." And I think in the church is where that needs to happen. Honestly do. At the same time, we need to make sure that we don't gripe and complain about every single thing that goes on. When people say, "Well, you say you can't complain," what do you mean by that? I mean, every time I get ready to complain, I see somebody that's got it much worse than I have. Much worse. Now, I can find some things to complain about. You know? There's plenty of things I can complain about. But when I look around, there are so many people that's got it so much worse than I have. So I just decided, for the most part, I'm going to try not to complain. And people think, he's being hypocritical. He's lying. No, I just decided not to fuss about it. I didn't say I didn't have any problems. I just decided I'm not going to complain about the problems right now. There are situations, and I think it ought to happen in the church, that we share with one another, that I'm having a tough time. Because Wednesday night, Rose Marie mentioned some German phrase. I would quote the German to you, but I don't know it. But I don't forgot even what the meaning. But basically, under every roof there's a hurt. Was that what it said? But that what it was? It's something. And you asked her about the German. She can give you the German. I can't get that. But what that means is everybody you meet has some kind of problem. Everybody you meet has some kind of problem. And it's hard to find an exception. But if we're real honest, we Christians, with Jesus as our shepherd, if we're real honest, our cup overflows, doesn't it? There's so many more blessings than there are hurts. So many more blessings. And so we need to be like the psalmist and sometimes talk about how great it is to be a sheep in the pasture of the shepherd Jesus. How great that is. Jesus is my shepherd, and that's all I need. Jesus is my shepherd, and that's all I need. Surely goodness and loving kindness, King James says mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. In other words, as a Christian, I have a great life here and now because I'm a Christian. Right now, I have a great life because I'm a Christian. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So not only do I have a great life now, I have a great promise of a fantastic future. Jesus is my shepherd. He's everything I need. Now I want you to go back and look at the same passage. And I want us just to run through and list all the benefits we have as a Christian. All the benefits. The first thing we see, we have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. He's the one that cares about me and is concerned about what happens in my life. Sometimes, maybe you never feel like it, but sometimes I feel like nobody cares. Nobody cares. My joke is, nobody loves me and nobody cares and nobody loves me. You know? Just, nobody cares. You ever been there? You're going through a difficult, difficult time. And you try to talk to somebody about it and they're just not interested. All they can think about is what they want to tell you. Jesus is my shepherd. And that's everything I need. Because I can go to him and talk. And he listens and he cares. The green pastures and the quiet waters. I have my necessities met. Food and water. He's provided for me. He restores my soul. He does something to my inner being that I can't explain, but I know I'm refreshed and uplifted and joyous because he's there. He restores my innermost being. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He helps me to be not so self-centered, but to be Christ-centered. Think about it. Think about it. I want you to think about the most miserable person you know. The most miserable person you know. Are they self-centered? Almost without exception. All they think about is themselves. And when that's all you think about, you're pretty miserable. But he's going to lead me, Jesus is going to lead me in the path of righteousness, telling me what I need to do for his name's sake. There's a purpose bigger than me and outside of me. There's a reason why I exist. There's a reason why you exist. And it's not just you. It's something else. Rick Warren wrote a book a number of years ago, The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody know the first line in the book? You buy a book about the purpose-driven life. I'm going to study this and have a purpose-driven life. I'm concerned about improving my life. The first line, the first paragraph is, it is not about you. That's what I bought the book for. I want to find my purpose. And then the first line, in the first paragraph, in the first chapter, says, it's not about you. If you can center your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be 40 times more happy than centering your life on yourself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, we have trouble. Everybody you know has troubles. Everybody. There are no exceptions. Everybody. I walk through that valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. Why? Because He is with me. He's with me. Everybody else may have left. He hadn't left. I got companionship. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't get rid of my enemies. I still have them. But I can have a banquet right in the middle of them. He anointed my head with oil. He refreshed me. Like coming home from a long day's work, taking a shower and relaxing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll have a good life here. And then, when that's all over, when this good life here is all over, it gets better. It gets better. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We took a familiar passage of Scripture, Scripture that many of you can quote, and just add it to perspective. As a Christian, Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. And if Jesus is my shepherd, that's all I need. Right? That's all I need. So let's surrender it all to Him as we stand and sing, I surrender all.